let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. The turning of seasons is a miracle of Mother Nature. In many parts of the world, the onset of winter brings a frosty landscape, while the arrival of spring heralds the blooming of nature once again. Each season offers its own beauty and delight, but unfortunately, as we all know, each season also comes with its own discomforts. The blooms of spring and summer can spell misery for allergy sufferers. When it comes to dealing with respiratory irritations of allergies, everyone seems to have a bit of homespun advice, but do natural remedies really work? Our guest today, holistic health and lifestyle expert Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., has had decades of experience helping people say goodbye to allergies. She will talk to us about natural ways to treat and prevent allergies and get into specific herbs, spices, and superfoods that can all make a positive difference to support immunity and relieve symptoms like congestion, sneezing, and watery eyes. Dr. Susan travels the world as a frequent media show guest and healthy living consultant. She's the author of many books, including her latest two celebrated companion books, Uplifted and A Hug in a Mug, revitalized with fruits, veggies, juices, soups, spices, teas, and healthy living extras. Allergies be gone the natural way. We welcome back Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., to today's This Week in America. Dr. Susan, welcome back to the program.
Well, hello, Rick. I'm so glad to be back with you. And what a timely topic you selected, because allergies are such a major issue around America and the UK and many places of the world right now. And I want to give a lot of practical advice.
We are ready for it. I've got a ton of questions here. Allergy, something now that seems to have an impact on all of us, basically 12 months out of the year. Let's start off. We're going to focus on allergies during the conversation, but let's start with a question I have like every time I sneeze, and a lot of people do as well. Give us 8 ways to tell the difference between a cold and an allergy. So often it's like, okay, are these allergies I'm suffering, or is this a cold? How can we tell the difference?
Yes, I can't even tell you, Rick, how many people come to me for with just that question, because they're sick and sneezing and watery eyes, but they don't know if they have a cold. So these are 8 things I usually go through, and many people think that they've caught a cold and they can't tell the difference. So I write about this a lot in A Hug in a Mug. And we'll go through 8 quick things, all right? So first is fever. A fever never accompanies allergy attacks. Colds often involve low-grade fevers with a body temperature of below 101 degrees, and this could run higher if the virus is aggressive. Cough. Common colds often involve some form of a cough, while you might not experience a cough during an allergy attack. Sneezing. frequent and multiple sneezes are typical. I see it a lot now on even newscasters. Just today, before we started this, on some local news shows and some national ones, people complain that were the hosts saying, "So sorry about my voice, I've got allergies right now." But frequent and multiple sneezes are typical of an allergy attack, especially if, it's a big one, if you're not feeling sick. Runny, stuffy nose. Nasal congestion is a common symptom for both allergy and cold sufferers. The results from increased blood flow to the mucous membranes of the nose and the sinus cavity. This is what results as the immune system responds to the condition at hand. Generally, allergic mucus is clear and watery, while if you have an infection, that's usually thick, colored mucus, and we're hoping that nobody's eating a meal right now. Next is headache. Congestion can often cause a feeling of pain or pressure within the sinuses. It's sometimes called a sinus headache, and this can occur in both allergies and colds.
Okay.
But if But remember this, if the headache is one-sided, that could indicate a more serious bacterial infection. Three more to go. Itchy eyes, ears, and throat. Itching in these areas almost always suggests an allergic reaction. Sore throat. Both colds and allergies can result in sore throats. However, allergy patients often describe the pain as scratchier, while colds produce a more sharp, severe sore throat. Last one, eight, swollen glands. Swelling of those lymph nodes in the neck and under the chin are seldom a result of an allergic reaction, but frequently experienced with a common cold. So with all of these eight insights here, you'll be better prepared to deal with your symptoms. However, as a precaution, you just might decide to start taking the antihistamine that you've stashed away in your medicine cabinet, and you want to listen carefully before you run to get that.
Yes, and we'll talk about that in depth on the program today. All of this information, we're talking about allergies be gone the natural way, on Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com, also in her book, A Hug and a Mug, Revitalized with Fruits, Veggies, Juices, Soup, Spices, Teas, and Healthy Living Extras. We'll mention that throughout the program. Just gave us eight tips, eight ways we can tell the difference between allergies and a cold. On my scorecard, I've got 5-3 allergies. So I was keeping track here to make sure. So we go through and you can sort of eliminate maybe one or the other and possibly not. And if not, we'll go through a lot of the different ways that you can discern the difference as we continue talking with Dr. Susan. Let's go back to your life. It's such a perfect example of how to take care of yourself, to listen to your elders in the case of your grandmother. When you were young, you had allergies, and your grandmother's natural remedies cleared them all up. Tell us a little bit about the experiences with her and with the allergies that you got cleared up.
Yes. Well, my grandmother always taught me when confronted with seasonal discomforts like allergies, the best course of action is to turn to the source of those turning seasons, Mother Nature. And in the herbal bounty of nature, as she taught me, you can always not only find ways to soothe the misery of the allergies, but also boost your immune system and help prevent these problems from developing in the first place. My grandmother, and we've talked about her a lot, her name was Fritzy.
Yes.
She taught me how to take care of my body from head to toe, from inside out, using only natural remedies. And I had terrible, terrible allergies as a teenager and in my early 20s. And I was bullied in school, and as a result of my dad dying in my teens, and then I ate everything in sight, and over that year of depression, I gained 50 pounds, and I got terrible acne and so much more, and was always sneezing and running nose. I got a nickname when I was bullied in high school of Sneezy, and it was very, very difficult. But as a result of my grandmother's wisdom and teachings, I was able to heal the allergies, and I've never had them since. And by the way, I've also worked with hundreds of people all over the world on how to get rid of allergies, which is why I'm so excited about this topic today. And I've had great success. When I had an allergy attack, Fritzy would encourage me to do, we'll get into all this later in more detail, but to do nasal cleansing, drink some stinging nettle tea, take extra vitamin C, things I'll discuss with you. But in addition to soothing my symptoms with these herbal remedies, she'd also advise me to manage my stress better, sleep more, conserve my energy so that my immune system and all of its wisdom could marshal in the healing energies bring back a state of health and happiness. You know, she'd even advise me with my allergies, literally, to walk in the garden where she had a lot of flowers and look at the beauty and observe it and the miracles all around me, because she said that would rev up my immune system to optimal levels, and the higher the immune function, the more you don't have to deal with annoying allergies.
It's amazing. All that information she gave you years ago, decades ago, applies now. And our guest on the program is Susan Smith-Jones, PhD. We're talking about how to soothe, heal, and prevent annoying allergies, something we all have. Let's talk a little bit about the causes and symptoms of allergies. Allergies specifically. We've come up with what causes a cold, what the differences may be. Now we're focusing on allergies. What exactly is an allergy?
Great question, because some people don't even know what that is. Allergies, unlike colds, are not infectious. They are not spread from one person to another, but rather they're caused by the reaction of our own immune systems to a foreign substance. And the single-minded mission of the immune system is to seek and kill invaders. And that's a function that helps protect us from bacteria and viruses, such as the ones that cause a cold. You and I, in fact, have had entire shows on the immune system before.
Yes.
But unfortunately, in the case of allergies, your immune system identifies your particular allergen as something harmful, like pollen, even though it isn't harmful at all. And after first exposure, the immune system produces antibodies that are always on alert for this allergen. So then when you're exposed to it again, these antibodies release the H word, histamine, and other substances that trigger allergic symptoms. Now, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but in doing research for our show today, I've discovered that allergies are becoming increasingly prevalent among Americans. And according to the CDC, and I guess for those people that live outside of the USA, that's Centers for Disease Control, an estimated 50 million Americans, one in five, suffer from allergies. So you're in good company, Rick. You know, and that's a figure that's, by the way, been on the rise since the 1980s across all age, sex, and racial groups. Allergy is the fifth leading chronic disease in the United States among all ages, and it's the third most common disease among children under 18 years old. So if you have allergies, you're not alone.
It's one in five, an amazing statistic. Our guest is Susan Smith-Jones, PhD. We're talking about allergies, how to cure them the natural way. What are some of the common allergies?
So, you know, though, like, for example, on a personal note, I'm very allergic, and I try to avoid them all the time, to wasp or yellow jacket stings, you know?
Yes.
And though allergies can be caused by a variety of stimuli, like from some people to food, to myself, it's an insect bite, to medications, the most common are, and you probably know this, indoor-outdoor allergies, including those seasonal perennial allergies and hay fever. It's called allergic rhinitis. And by the way, the letters ITIS, itis, that means inflammation of, you know, arthritis, whatever it is. And rhinitis is an inflammation of the mucous membrane of the nose caused by a virus infection like the common cold or by an allergic reaction like from hay fever. And according to the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, approximately 40 million Americans have indoor-outdoor allergies as their primary allergy, though many people with allergies have more than one type of allergy. Allergic severity can range from minor irritation and a lot of annoyance, right, to anaphylaxis, which is a life-threatening reaction. But most indoor-outdoor allergies are the kind that lead to symptoms like you started off the show with, often associated with colds, such as congestion, sneezing, runny nose, which is why some, and I'd say many, allergy sufferers often mistake their discomfort as the common cold.
A fascinating conversation talking about allergies, how to cure allergies the natural way. Our guest is Susan Smith-Jones, PhD. When we take a break and come back, we'll talk to Dr. Susan about risk factors that may increase the likelihood of us developing allergies. And we do that on This Week in America right after these messages. Welcome back, This Week in America, talking about allergies be gone the natural way, how to soothe, heal, and prevent annoying allergies with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. We're talking on a lot of this information today on our website. In fact, all of this and more on our website, SusanSmithJones.com. You'll also find them in her newest book, A Hug in a Mug, revitalized with fruits, veggies, juices, soups, spices, teas, and healthy living extras. Dr. Susan, are there any risk factors that increase the likelihood of us developing allergies that we should avoid? Are there risk factors that we need to take into account?
Well, interesting you ask that. There are certain risk factors that can increase the probability of developing allergies. Those with a family history of allergies are more likely to develop them. Age plays a role in that children are more likely to develop an allergy than are adults, although you can become allergic to something at any age. I know some seniors that for the first time now are allergic to things they weren't allergic to ever before. Also, if you have one allergic condition, it's more likely that you'll develop an allergy to something else. But this is fascinating to me, and I resonate with this. It's unknown precisely why the incidence of allergies has steadily been increasing in the population as a whole. Some have pointed, and I like this, to what is known as the hygiene hypothesis. And that is that the idea that our increasingly industrialized and sanitized society in which we live now, we've become exposed to fewer illnesses in childhood. Fewer families live on farms where children interact with livestock. We prioritize clean, germ-free homes. Family sizes are smaller, so children are less vulnerable to the illnesses of multiple siblings. And as a result, Rick, of these factors, some experts maintain that our immune systems are underdeveloped and overreact when exposed to allergens such as grass pollen, house dust mites, and cat hair. And some research has even lent credence to this theory. You know, for example, children raised on farms with livestock, let's say you have some sheep and goats and you have a horse you ride every day, have one-third fewer allergies than those who are not raised on farms.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is a fascinating, and when you think about it, it does make sense, and it's just something, but you really don't think about it. And now with that information, we will put that into our knowledge bank, and it's interesting how that all works. A fascinating conversation today. Time is going by so quickly, and again, all of this on Dr. Susan's website, in her book, A Hug and a Mug, that we'll talk about as we go through the conversation. Let's go over the two main conventional treatments for allergies. What are those, and talk about those? I say conventional. This is over-the-counter in most cases. Well, in some cases, sometimes it has to be prescribed, I guess. Talk about the two common ones.
Right. Well, they are antihistamines and corticosteroids. And this is sort of like allergy 101. The symptoms of allergies are brought on, like I mentioned a moment ago, by inflammatory chemicals called histamines. Everyone who has an allergy knows about histamines. Drugs known as antihistamines compete with histamine for histamine receptor sites and thereby will prevent the histamine from causing allergic reactions. And they can be quite effective for reducing sneezing, itching, or a runny nose, watery eyes, and congestion. However, and this is so important, they aren't without side effects.
Yes.
And oral antihistamines like pills and liquids can cause a dry mouth and drowsiness. And since they can slow your reaction time, they should not be taken when you're driving or doing other potentially dangerous activities. Antihistamine nasal sprays have an array of potential side effects, from burning and nosebleed to dizziness and fatigue. As eye drops, antihistamines can lead to stinging and burning and redness in the eyes. And by the way, the risk of eye inflammation increases if you're wearing contact lenses. And the second conventional treatment everyone would know about if they have an allergy is called corticosteroids. And these are anti-inflammatory substances that can block severe allergic reactions. Most require a prescription from your doctor. Oral corticosteroids, like pills and liquids, are usually prescribed for only short periods of time because, and a lot of people don't know this, they increase the risk of long-term side effects, including cataracts, osteoporosis,
wow,
muscle weakness, and delayed growth in children. Do the doctors always tell you this? Corticosteroids as eye drops can also be risky in the long run because they can cause blurred vision and increase the likelihood of eye infections, glaucoma, and cataracts. And by the way, while nasal cortico sprays don't carry as high a long-term risk, they can lead to an unpleasant smell or taste or nasal irritation or nosebleeds in the short term. So the takeaway about these conventional treatments is that medications can only go so far in treating allergies. Conventional treatments for allergies have varying degrees of effectiveness, and oftentimes are no more effective than placebos, while other types of treatments, conventional ones, may actually worsen a cold and allergy symptoms, cause a rebound effect, lead to more serious conditions. And this is especially true when it comes to young children. So, like you were saying, we're becoming smarter a moment ago, we hope.
We hope, yes.
As we become ever-increasing savvy consumers of medicine, we have to ask ourselves, really, is the trade-off worth it? So maybe you're thinking now of leaving conventional medicine, I'm talking about allergies, and pharmaceuticals behind, but that doesn't mean there are no options for getting relief from your allergy symptoms. Mother Nature's medicine chest offers an array of choices for soothing symptoms, shortening the duration, even healing naturally without any side effects.
Well, let's talk specifically about what we can do to comfort our allergies naturally at home. You've given us the rundown on conventional treatments. Basically, use at your own risk. You really need to do some research, some knowledge, and weigh all of your options. Let's talk about doing it the natural way. What are some of the ways that we can do it that way?
Well, just so you know, because I know we don't have 3 hours, I'll go through just a few quickly, and especially my two favorites. And then in a hug and a mug, I have every spice, tea, soup, juice, superfood, and other healthy living choices to not only help with allergies, but about 100-plus more diseases and illnesses, so you can learn natural ways. But I want to start off with my gold star, and it's called stinging nettle. That's a weird name. It's an herb, N-E-T-T-L-E, but you can just say nettle. And by the way, nettle, which I've been taking since I was a teenager, is a natural source of quercetin, and that's a plant-derived flavonoid and natural antihistamine. And the nutrient-rich stinging nettle plant has been used as both a food and a medicine for centuries. Herbalists often prescribe it as a diuretic to help relieve temporary water weight gain and to promote good urinary tract health. That's probably because I've taken it since I've been a teenager. Not that anyone wants to know this, but I've never had a urinary tract infection. And I'm going to knock on some wood right here. But what's germane to allergies is nettle is also often recommended to combat allergy response. Nettle acts as a natural antihistamine that reduces seasonal allergies, including hay fever. And research now shows about nettle that it's effective in relieving the runny nose, teary eyes, and other symptoms of hay fever. In fact, in one study, you'll love this, nettle extract was shown to inhibit several key inflammatory events that cause the symptoms of seasonal allergies. Because, you know, make it brief here, bioactive substances in the nettle can block histamine receptors and the release of these pro-inflammatory mediators responsible for allergic rhinitis. And so you've got to take it in either, say, tea form or capsules or a liquid extract. If you like to make a tea, and all these recipes are in a hug and a mug for dozens, hundreds of spices, herbs, soups, juices, everything for every illness. But to reap the benefits of nettle, you want to pour about 1 cup of boiling water over a teaspoon of the herb, or you could use tea bags. You allow it to steep for 4 to 7 minutes. You strain it. And I want to give you a quick little example. One of my clients, who started as a client but now a very close, good friend, lives in England. And when he first came to see me, his name's David, he had for 30 years terrible, terrible allergies, just awful. Sneezing, watery eyes, runny nose, scratchy throat, even a dry cough. And that was one of the first things he asked me about. So I immediately put him on, and he actually came to America to do a consultation with me. And I said, I give you my word, within 4 months, if you follow my program, you won't have allergies anymore. Well, he didn't believe me, but I said, will you follow my guidance? And he did. And I put him on 2,000 milligrams a day of nettle, and he took it both in tea form, because he's British and he drinks a lot of tea,
yes,
and also in capsules. And then I also told him he had to take vitamin C. Vitamin C is a wonderful antihistamine, very, very effective, and he had to take at least 3,000 milligrams a day. I had him take a time release. He took a little bit more than that, and in 3.5 months, he no longer had allergies, and to this day, he hasn't gotten an allergy again.
Amazing.
And by the way, I know we're in the spring season now, but for those of you listening that might be listening to this at a later time of the year, maybe it's November. Let's just say it's November. And you're just dreading the next spring season because of allergies. If you start, studies have shown that if you start taking 2 to 4 500 milligram capsules of nettle in November, and you continue through April when the pollen arrives, it's been reported that the allergies will be much less severe, and you might not even get them at all. So stinging nettle is one thing.
Yes.
Mullein is another herb you're going to read about in my book. sage is another one, and ways to use it for colds and allergies. Because sage means, you know, the herb sage that you often use,
yes,
maybe in turkey at Thanksgiving. This herb can slow down the secretion of fluids in the case of excess mucus discharge. It dries up congestion and it prevents post-nasal drip. Again, if you're eating, just put your food aside for a little bit. Golden seal, gosh, that's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's one of the most researched natural remedies and herbs in the entire herb kingdom, and it's now listed in many pharmaceutical guides worldwide. But golden seal, and has nothing to do with the animal, the seal, golden seal is highly valued, as some people might know, as a bitter digestive tonic, but it has several benefits for cold and allergy sufferers. First, it supports the immune system because its natural alkaloids encourage white blood cell activity. Second, it promotes normal mucus production, the body's system for expelling germs. Finally, golden seal, the active ingredient in it is berberine, and that is thought to be, and that's B-E-R-B-E-R-I-N-E. That's an effective mucous membrane tonic, particularly for the sinuses, throat, and respiratory tract. Licorice root is great. Myrrh, M-Y-R-R-H, is great. I mentioned quercetin, that bioflavonoid, and I take extra capsules and a powder. I take a half a teaspoon a day of the powder. Because it helps with all immunity. It's not just allergies. It helps you to be as healthy as possible, but it helps in the release, to block the release of histamine in the body, just like nettle does. It's a natural antihistamine in the body. And then in my book, you'll read about burdock root, turmeric, gota cola, oregano oil, astragalus. Vitamin C is a natural antihistamine. Everyone should be taking extra vitamin C. Rick, you can't get enough in the food you eat. I write about this a lot in The Hug and a Mug. And let me just give you a food, one of my favorites, especially this time of year, fresh organic strawberries.
Yes.
We all know how miserable you can feel with an annoying allergy, that runny nose, watery eyes, throbbing head. But the berries and the leaves of fresh strawberries are loaded with vitamin C and minerals and catechins, which block allergic-causing histamines. So the next time you're feeling under the weather, you know, munch on a bunch of strawberries or whip up a cup of strawberry tea or a strawberry smoothie. And then on past shows, I've talked about Olbas, O-L-B-A-S. They don't pay me to say this, but I've been using their products for over 50 years. My grandmother taught me about Olbas oil, but they have this inhaler that's about the size of your pinky finger. And you don't share it with other people in your family, but it's made up of natural herbs, totally natural herbs. Every health food store in the world has it. It's in all the chemist pharmacy shops over in the UK. And you just put it in one little nostril a little bit, close the other one, and breathe in. And it's an inhaler. And if you have clogged sinuses and respiratory issues, it will clear them up right away. It's quite remarkable. And just when you go to my website in the search bar, put O-L-B-A-S. These products come from Switzerland. They're not expensive. They have a line of about 8, and I'm never without my Olbas inhalers. In fact, I get 7 at a time. I buy them. One's in my purse or tote bag, one's at my desk, one's bedside table, one's in the car, one's in my office. And I give them away as gifts. Everyone loves them.
Well, so much information during the course of today's conversation, and this is all available. There's a lot there. If you want to go back and maybe re-listen to the podcast, to the broadcast, you can do that by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, Dr. Susan's website as well. Information there, and again, in her book, A Hug in a Mug, Revitalized with Fruits, Veggies, Juices, Soups, Spices, Teas, and Healthy Living Extras. All of this just touching the surface and so much more on Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. Before we wrap up allergies, and what a conversation that has been today, do you have anything you'd like to say maybe to summarize today's discussion to relieve and prevent allergies? Anything that we could do naturally that you want to go back and reemphasize?
Yes, and you know, before I give you my summary, I want to make it as practical as can be. So if you're one of the people that have decided to leave the drugstore remedies like decongestions, cough syrups, antihistamines on the shelf due to their potential health risks, here are some things that you can do at home, like lifestyle interventions, home remedies. And my grandmother taught me about this, I mentioned it up front quickly, a neti pot. Sinus
yes.
congestion and hay fever symptoms will often improve when you use, it's known as a nasal lavage, rinsing out the sinuses with a saline solution. And you can use a neti pot, or you can get a bowl, a specifically designed bulb syringe to flush out the thickened mucus and irritants in your nose. You know, you shower, you wash your hair, you wash your skin, you exfoliate, but not many people, even people with allergies, wash out all the extra thickened mucus irritants in their nasal cavity. So a neti pot will do this. Research shows, by the way, it's not just something silly that people think might help, but research shows that this irrigation increases the speed and improves coordination of those nasal cilia, the little hairs in your nose, so that they may more effectively remove bacteria, allergens, and other irritants. You also want to optimize your environment at home, because household airborne allergy symptoms, like those caused by dust mites or pet dander, may improve if you take steps to reduce your exposure. For example, and I know this goes without saying, but some people don't wash their bedding frequently enough.
Yes.
I know someone I met who it just came out in a discussion, a single bachelor guy who only washed his sheets once a month. Well, they got to be washed at least once a week in hot water. And what I had David do in England when he went back to England after I put him on the stinging nettle and the vitamin C is I had him pull up all of his synthetic carpeting and replace it with hardwood floors. And you want to make sure, Rick, that you use a good vacuum with a fine filter, like a HEPA filter. HEPA, by the way, stands for High Efficiency Particulate Air Filter. By the way, if you live in an area, if you're, let's just say your allergy symptoms are stirred up by mold, you might want to consider wearing a dust mask while working outdoors in damp weather. And then if it's that time of year, keep your windows closed at night. When you come into the house, take your shoes off. I never come into my house and walk all around my house with the shoes that I've worn outside. I have my indoor soft shoes because you want to eliminate the petrochemicals, the sewage, the tar on the soles of your shoes from being distributed around the house and in the air, especially if you have allergies. You got to be aware of all these things. If you don't have sensitivity to mold outside, you do want to open your windows, even in the middle of winter, just a little bit, because the air quality inside your home is usually worse than outside, you know, unless you live on a busy street in the city. So open your windows a little bit to let the fresh air in, because this is due to the off-gassing of fabrics and on household furniture and carpets, and maybe you don't use really good cleaning solutions in your house. And it's not a bad idea, like once a year, to get a good mattress pad cover that helps to eliminate exposure to allergens while resting.
Okay.
So those are the practical tips. And to just summarize, because we don't have time to talk about all this now, but I'll summarize it in this way, as I write about in detail in A Hug and a Mug. Allergies occur when the immune system and the adrenal glands are weak. We don't have time to get into this, but you can read about it in the book. The adrenal glands are located on top of the kidneys and produce hormones that strengthen immunity. And when the body is not strong enough to handle invasive substances, like what might it be for you? Pollen, dust, animal dander. It will begin to produce histamines, and these cause the allergic responses of sneezing and red, watery eyes. And the antihistamines, keep in mind, they may seem to relieve the symptoms for a moment, but they don't get rid of the cause. They may cause drowsiness, and it's better to work on strengthening your immune system and make sure you're taking an adequate probiotics. Another topic we didn't have time to get to today, but incorporate some of these herbs and spices and foods we discussed today, because these over-the-counter pharmaceutical preparations for allergies, like cough syrups, antihistamines, have varying degrees of effectiveness and may, and many of them do, come with unpleasant or dangerous side effects. So I'm going to say put going natural right at the top of your list.
Yes.
And it's always, like you and I always talk about this, it's my belief that the best course of action when it comes to soothing the misery of allergies or any issue you have is a combination of common sense, like my grandmother Fritzi taught me, and a helping hand from our loving Mother Nature with her herbs, foods, spices, juices. And when used in concert with immune boosters that include a healthy diet, regular exercise, plenty of sleep, good hygiene, you can find relief and even ward off allergies before they take hold. So just as my grandmother soothed and healed my allergies with Mother Nature plants and TLC, you can soothe yourself by drawing from the same time-tested wisdom.
So much information in the program, and let's wrap this up as we talk about the two new comprehensive holistic health positive lifestyle companion books that I've talked about, Uplifted and A Hug and a Mug. Tell us how people can get copies and what's in those, because they really are life-altering for people.
Yes, thank you. You know, they're Hug and a Mug and Uplifted are both available on Amazon. Hug and a Mug comes in both color and black and white. Colors cost a teeny bit more, but it's my favorite over the black white version, because we have recipes in it. And the Hug and a Mug goes from head to toe, what you can do to heal whatever is ailing you. You get the histories and a listing and a description of different teas and spices and juices and superfoods. And then you also learn how to care for your body in many other ways. Why being in nature is important, how to sleep like a baby, how to use heat and cold therapy. It's not just about food. That's half of the book. It's all about physical health, and it's available on Amazon. And then Uplifted, and the subtitle of that is 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, Kindness, and Vitality. That's more mental, emotional, and spiritual health. They go together as a team. You can read one and not read the other, but I didn't want to give you an over 600-page book, so I divided it into two books. And you can go to my website. There's a way. Go to SusanSmithJones.com. Sign up for my Healthy Living monthly newsletter. Follow me on X. And if you go to books, you can find out how to get autographed copies of my books, autographed to anyone you want, sent anywhere in America or all over the world. But the Hug and a Mug will be your handy daily reference guide on what to eat or not eat and how to live so that you can heal whatever illness or disease you might have and prevent them from happening. And then, of course, look and feel about 10 years younger within 30 days. It's a program I've taught worldwide for decades and decades, and I put it all into these two books, A Hug and a Mug and Uplifted.
You'll find information on those, her other books, information on so many topics, and be able to sign up for the monthly newsletter, the free monthly newsletter, by going to Dr. Susan's website, her name, SusanSmithJones.com. You can follow her, X, formerly Twitter, at Susan Smith Jones. And you can link on to all of this by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Boy, a lot of information today that you'll be going back to our conversation and referring to it as we go through one allergy season after another. So much great information today, much more on our website. Dr. Susan, always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Thank you. I look forward to our next visit.
And in another month, Susan will be back with another health topic. Today's topic, allergies be gone the natural way. Again, all the information, Susan's website is SusanSmithJones.com. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.